Would you take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 this evening? Thank you, Brother Stephen, for the ministry by way of teaching and preaching this morning, by way of music throughout the day. And what a blessing it is to have Brother Stephen here and Pastor Griffiths here this weekend and part of this occasion. This week has been an interesting week. Just Lord set me aside this week and just let me think about some things. And at times, it's about all I could do is think, and sometimes not even think. So had a lot of time to think, and obviously the Lord did that on purpose in my life, and so I learned to accept that, as I said this morning. But as I was thinking throughout this week, I was thinking about about 22 years ago, the Lord called me to preach, about 22 and a half years ago, and I kind of messed around with that calling a little bit here and there and did some things at my home church and didn't really take the call seriously until my sophomore year, end of my freshman year, beginning of my sophomore year of college. And God began to use some things in my life, in my wife's life, and we moved to a different place and started some ministry. All that to say that I started ministry about January of 2000. Was when really the Lord put me in the ministry part-time, and I was working full-time hours, getting paid part-time, and I think that's about every ministry. But loving life, loving being in the ministry. My wife was in full-time ministry. We didn't have any children at the time, and just had gotten married 6 or 8 months before that, and so we were having a great time in ministry. And I was kind of in the mode that Brother Dave's been in. I was kind of the gopher guy. I was doing whatever the preacher wanted me to do, and I would go here, go there. I would teach this class. I would go preach over here. I'd take the youth on an activity. I would teach the young adults. That was interesting. I was 21 years old teaching 24 and 25-year-olds how to live their Christian life. When the Lord says, don't let a novice do it, He probably shouldn't have let me do it, and taught me some humility in that situation. But so early on in ministry, I just did a lot of whatever. I was just an assistant to the pastor, and really just any opportunity I had to preach, I would preach, I would do whatever. I did my college courses, I would work at the church, and just enjoyed being in the ministry. And then in May of 2001, I graduated from Bible college. I had taken 3.5 years of classes and crammed all 4 years into that 3.5 years. I had sat out 6 months, so I had to do some catching up and took some extra classes so I could graduate on time. So I was graduated in May of 2001, and I graduated on a Tuesday evening, and that Wednesday, the pastor said, we're going to ordain you into the ministry. And I said, I didn't even know what all that meant. And so a couple months before that, he asked me about people I'd want to have there, and we had the staff men, the men I'd been in ministry with for the last year and a half. I had them there, and my stepdad was there, and different folks like that that had been an influence in my life. And I remember those days, and I remember that time, and I remember those men gathering around me and laying their hands upon me and approving of my life and the gifts that God had given me. And they had examined me through questioning and talking and testimony and things of that nature. And I can remember that moment, and I'm so excited that Brother Dave gets to experience this today, because it is a little bit different. I've treated it a little bit different than that situation, and probably required a little bit more out of him than I had to required out of me, but I felt that it was necessary for the seriousness of this time and our responsibility as a church. And so I look back to that this weekend, this week time period of dates, 15 years ago, God allowed me to enter into the ministry by way of ordination and counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. And up to this point, Brother Dave has been an assistant to the pastor and an extraordinary one at that. If there is something that is overwhelming me, that is his testimony. He has made my life easier in the ministry. He has been a person, when I'm not feeling well, encourages me to get rest and picks up whatever he has to, if that's preaching. I've literally, at times, it has been 6:25 on a Wednesday night, and I've said, I cannot stop throwing up, or I cannot get out of the bed. And he'll come to Wednesday night, and he'll have a message ready. I've literally called him at 8:30 on a Sunday morning and said, you have everything this morning. I cannot do it. And I hate doing that. And that's why sometimes I wait till the last minute because I think I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And then my wife says, you're not going to do it. And she said, you need to respect to that man and give him at least 5 minutes notice, all right? And I said, okay, I'll give him 5 minutes notice. But up to this point, he has been that kind of assistant pastor. But at this time, and I remember this time of my life, where at one point it was doing whatever the pastor needed and being there, making his life easier. And then it was the ordination time. And I remember at that ordination that something happened in me. And I don't know that it was something where I felt like I wasn't doing a good job before that, or that I wasn't fulfilling my responsibility because I was doing what was asked of me. But I saw it from a different standpoint once I was ordained. And I don't know why that happened, or really even how that happened, other than God used this passage in my life to bring the gravity of what I do every single week of my life to the forefront. Now, for that 15 years, I've only been a pastor now for going on 11 years in July here, a senior pastor, but I was an assistant pastor from 2000-ish up until 2005. And so there was times where I was the guy who was told what to do, and then I became the guy telling people what to do. And that kind of is a different spot, but it was something different than that. And I don't know that even I can articulate it into words tonight, but there was something that happened in my heart in this passage of Scripture that put the supremacy not on just assisting and not just on administrating and not just on what the task was in front of me, but it put the emphasis on what the Bible tells me as a preacher to be in the Word and prayer. And that is where, Brother Lear, I charge you tonight, as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1, look at it there with me. It says, I charge thee, therefore, before God. A charge is something serious. This isn't, it's one degree away from the word I beseech. When that's begging somebody, listen to me, please listen to me. This is face to face, I charge thee. I'm very serious about what I'm going to tell you right now. And if it's not serious enough, by the gravity of me saying it, he said, I'm telling you it before God. So whatever respect level, Brother Dave, you have for me, I charge thee. But whatever respect level that ends at, it needs to continue at the face of God when it says, I charge thee, therefore, before God. This is before you and I. This is before me as your pastor. This is before me as your friend. But this is before God tonight, and that's the ultimate reason I charge thee tonight with this challenge, to put the supremacy of your ministry not on making my life easier, but put the supremacy of your ministry on preaching and prayer, because that is the influence, the most influence you'll ever have on the next generation, is through preaching and prayer. He says, I charge thee therefore before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. The truth of the matter is, it's going to be over soon. The Bible says, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. If you tarry and you get to the old age and you take your last breath, the truth of the matter is, the Bible says your life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while and vanisheth away. So even if you think you're going to live a long time, I remember as I'm recounting to you events from 15 years ago, just like it was yesterday. I could take you back to my kindergarten day, the first day of my kindergarten year, like it was yesterday. I remember those things. I remember my parents got divorced. I remember the day I got to junior high. Just events in my life, I could talk about it like it was yesterday. It's like a vapor. It appeared for a little while and vanisheth away. And so he says, this is not going to last long. You're not going to have long to do this. There's a short window of time that you have to influence. And I know people know that Brother Dave is the principal of the school and the youth pastor. There'll be different phases of his ministry here at Bible Baptist Church. I don't know that he's going to be 50 and working with the teenagers. Those young people need lockouts and lockdowns and lock-ins or whatever they call them. And he's almost locked up. There you go. But the truth is that he's getting to the age now where lock-ins and lock-ups and all those kinds of things are getting harder and harder. And there'll become a day where we'll ordain another man into the gospel ministry and we'll say, Or we might not even ordain them. We might just hire somebody and say, okay, you're in charge of going to have fun with the teens and preaching at them and teaching them and taking them on to youth conferences. But there'll be different phases of his ministry. But the truth is when we're in the ministry, we've got a short window of time. You say, man, I'm going to be in the ministry, man. I'm 38 years old. I'll probably be in the ministry another 30, 40 years. I mean, I'll do this till the day I die. But you've already lived 38, and it's going like that. So when we think, oh, I've got another 40 years of ministry, I've got another 30 years of ministry, it's not as long as we think. And God, if it doesn't take you to heaven, the Bible says He's going to judge the quick and the dead as it's appearing. It's either He is coming or you're going. One of the two. And we don't have a long time in the ministry. And as pastors, that weighs on us sometimes. Because the urgency in which we do ministry is in light of understanding that we don't have a lot of time. That, yes, I have a 10-year plan here, and I have a 20-year plan, and I'm planned out 30 years in my finances, and those kinds of things always work on my heart and my mind, and I think of our church and its rate of growth and how we can reach more people and how we can build buildings to bring people in and have sharp things for people to do and nice programs. So there's always that planning process, but in the back of my mind is always that thing of how long am I going to be able to do this? How long will I have influence over people? Listen, I know preachers that are in the pulpit today that probably should have been out of the pulpit 5-10 years ago. And because they don't plan and because they don't prepare, because they don't take verses like this seriously, they're still trying to do what somebody else should have been ordained to do in their place. And so we have to take these things seriously, that there is a small window here that Brother Dave and I, as God has brought us together in the ministry, now both ordained in the gospel ministry, and we're a team together moving forward, preaching and teaching the Word of God, influencing the next generation, the hearts of God's people for the work of God and for the things of God. As we work together, we don't have a large window here. And so He charges him to do something in this window. And I know we are activity people, and we are fellowship people, and we are eating people, and we are people that love to get around the table and cook food, and you bring dishes, and we'll have a great time of fellowship, and let's go out to eat, and let's have a barbecue in my backyard. And in this window, sometimes we get so busy doing the programs, right? And I'm for programs. I think a church ought to have things for kids to do. I think there ought to be a place where they come on a Sunday morning and somebody teaches them like Brother Trout does. 49 children this morning. We really know your wife's leading that ministry, but we're giving you the credit for it. But 49 children in junior church. How many do you have in beginner church, Brother Matt? 28 in beginner church, which is equal to 72 in junior church. When it's a ratio, 28 is about 72 for second through sixth graders. But it's amazing how the children programs are growing here, and I'm so thankful because we do have things for children to be a part of. But no matter how many programs we start and how many building funds we have and how many projects we do and how many things we open up and how many activities we have, the Bible says that you and I in this window have to stay concentrated on something. And that is the next verse. I charge thee before God, with this little window we have, that Christ coming and His appearing, you're going or He's coming, one of the two is happening in the next little while, preach the Word. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? Why do we take it so seriously? Why is preaching the supremacy around Bible Baptist Church? Why is the first thing of our three-phrase purpose, our purpose of Bible Baptist Church is to love God, grow together, and serve others? Why loving God? Because we want to make sure that the preaching shows us the love of God. We want to make sure our actions show the love of God. We want to make sure that our preaching displays the love of God. And so our threefold purpose here at Bible Baptist Church is loving God, growing together, and serving others. It starts with God. It's a church that is growing together towards our love for God. And it is serving others to bring them into the fellowship so that we can show them a love for God. And so we see the purpose of Bible Baptist Church all hinges on the pulpit ministry of Bible Baptist Church. Loving God. We love God by talking about Him. We love God by singing about Him. We love God by preaching about Him. We love God by pointing people to Him. And so the Bible says here, preach the Word. Of course, we've heard messages on preaching the Word. That instant in season and out of season, that fact of being ready at all times. And I've shared the testimony with Brother Dave. He's always ready. And I believe that he's been a preacher when he first started. I did not let him have this liberty in this verse. I said, there's no reproving. You're not a reprover. You are not a pastor. And I've told him that. Brother Dave will tell you that. His job was not to reprove you. His job was not to exhort you. His job was not to rebuke you. His job was to come and encourage and do a certain type of ministry that I gave him to do, because as he was preaching and training in that ministry and not being the pastor of the church or a pastor, that he could discern some of those things. But he's entering into something today that changed in my heart. When the preacher had me get up, I said, what do you want me to preach on? He said, we really need help in this area. Okay, good. I would study on that. I would preach on that. You can preach on what you want, but be careful with this area, or be careful with that area. Remember, you're not the pastor. And I'm, yes, sir. When God ordained me, when the men ordained me into the ministry, something changed in me. And I took on those verses, and I took on that charge from God to be instant in season, out of season, with what? With reproof. Things that I saw that people needed to change. And he's been kind of training in that area, working with youth, and he has that liberty with the youth and those kinds of things. But reproving and rebuking and exhorting with all long-suffering. But the time will come. Why do we need to be about preaching the Word? Why do we need to take it so seriously? Why does Brother Dave need to make sure that this is the center of his ministry from this point forward? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof thy ministry. We started a ministry here years ago, and I put it on the back burner for a little while here. But it's our Preacher Men's Club. And Brother Dave joined the Preacher Men's Club shortly after he came to our church. In 2003, somewhere in that time frame. Well, I was training Matt Womack and Sam Womack and John Oliar and Derek Hoffer, and they were going through my Preacher Men's Club while they were in high school. And Brother Dave said, I'd like to do that. And at the time, it was called the Preacher Boys Club. And Brother Dave was probably, at that time, 26, 27, 28, somewhere in there. And so I changed it to the Preacher Men's Club and said, you can come. And so he came to that, and I began to train him for a year. Maybe even, I think he went through it twice, through the program twice. So he was in it for 2 years and just going through the lessons and learning how to preach and learning how to put a sermon together and learning the philosophy of preaching, the theology of preaching, how to preach to different groups of people. And I taught these young men how to do that. And Brother Dave was right there for every step of the way. And so I, this was the theme verses for Preacher Men's Club. And this is what I would teach the young men, how to do what these verses say. When God puts you in the ministry, when God puts you over people, when God gives you influence with people, make sure that you're taking these verses and you are making full proof of your ministry. And these are the themes that God wants us to be preaching on and God wants us to take. And we would go through all of these verses together as a Preacher Men's Club, and we would talk through these things. But I want to give a short thought here about preaching the Word, Brother Dave. And so that from this point forward, every time you stand to give a message, I want you to think of these three things that have spurred, that have inspired, that have disciplined my preaching all of these 15 years since the day I was ordained. Every time I go to put together a message, every single time I've ever put together a message, I think of these three things that came from this verse that God gave me through the study of these verses. Because there's only little time, because I don't have much time in this window of influence, because time is shortening because of the wickedness of this world, and because there will come a day where people will not endure it. And there will be a different type of church ministry. There will be, preaching will be central, but it will be, I believe it's going to morph into different things as we go on in history. If God tarries his coming, I don't know that we'll have the freedoms that we have today. So every time in the short window, in the short span of whether I'm going or whether he's coming or whether it ends here and our liberties are different and I have to preach a different way, preach a different method away from a pulpit and with a group of people underground, whatever the case is, These three things have always spurred my preaching. Brother Dave, number one, next time you get up to preach, make sure you preach like it's your first time you've ever preached. Make sure it's the first time. The first time I ever preached was when I was 15 years old at a New Year's Eve service at Lewis Avenue Baptist Church in Temperance, Michigan. I have never been so nervous about anything in all my life. I felt like God had called me to preach. I answered that call to preach and an invitation. The pastor talked to me a little bit, gave him to my youth pastor. He trained me a little bit. And on New Year's Eve that year, right after I turned 15 years old, actually after I turned 16 years old, on December 10th, that New Year's Eve service, that same year, they had me preach. And I preached a message on not quitting. I think I rebuked, I think I reproved, I think I exhorted. I had no idea what I was doing. I had a great time, but I was scared to death. I had a preacher tell me this one time. He said, that ought to be the feeling that you ask God for every single time you go to preach. Because that first time I studied probably more than I ever had about anything else in my life. I had prayed more for that message. You know, and when you're 16 years old, you think you're going to change the world. So I thought I'd preach the message. Everybody would get saved. Probably most everybody would get called to preach. And then we would probably send out dozens and dozens of missionaries. And then the pastor would probably ask me to be on staff. And then I would have to be training everybody at the age of 16. So that was great. But I realized that sometimes, if I'm not careful, Brother Dave, I can get used to it. I have the ability in my human flesh. Some people don't, but I believe I have the ability in my human flesh to put a couple sentences together and stand up in front of people and talk. And that's dangerous when people can do it. And so I try to remember, every time I go to preach, Lord, help me to realize like it's the first time. Help me be as dependent upon You like it was the very first time I ever preached. Help me to rely on You and study like it was the first time and I didn't know what I was doing. That very first time. Help me to dissect Your word, every word of that passage, so that I'm not getting up there and giving my opinion, but I'm preaching as if it's the first time. Number two, Lord, help me to preach like it's my last time. Help me to preach like it's my last time. I never thought this way until the last few years when I started experiencing health issues. And I was brought to it just a couple of weeks ago, again, when Brother Scully was here. I went to his church on Wednesday afternoon to preach in his chapel. And I asked him, he said, I don't have a place to go Sunday. They're bringing in a special speaker. And so I said, why don't you come to our church and preach for us? And he said, I'll come. He said, I'd love to do that. He said, why don't you preach and I'll just sit there and be ministered to. And I said, you can do whatever you want. I said, if you want to preach, you're welcome to preach. Our folks would love to hear you. And by Thursday, he got a phone call that said, you're going to be here and you're preaching. Preacher's in the hospital. And so he came, and of course, he was a blessing last Sunday. And what a man of faith and a man of power. But I was brought to this, to the idea, when you have health issues, and maybe not everybody thinks this way, but the Bible says there's coming a moment, not just with health issues, but there's a moment I'm going to take my last breath. And I don't know when that is. And I feel like I could, I feel like I'm healthy again. I feel like I could go on and have a fruitful ministry. I believe that. But God could take me tonight. I could go tonight. The truth is, this could be the last message you ever hear because He could come tonight. And the truth is at any moment we could do something or have something taken away from us in the privilege of meeting in this room. And this could be the last time we ever meet. And so we don't know those things. So I charge you, Brother Dave, when you preach the Word, preach as if it's the very last time you're going to get to talk to those young people. The very last time you'll get to exhort our church. The very last time that you'll ever stand behind a pulpit and have influence over that group of people. Always preach like it's the very first time, so you're dependent. Always preach like it's the last time, because it could be the last day that you ever minister. And may I say to you, I charge you tonight as you preach the Word, preach as if it's the only time that you'll ever get to preach. It might be the only chance you get to preach at that nursing home. It might be the only chance you get to preach to those teenagers. It might be a teenager in that room that the next time you meet won't be there with you. There could be an adult here by the time we meet, the very next time, that you will not be in this room the next time we meet. Because it'll be the only time that you get to hear me preach. It'll be the only time you're here. It's the last time that you get to hear the Word of God. So Brother Dave, I charge you tonight, as somebody did 15 years ago to me on the day that I was ordained to the gospel ministry. God's used this passage so many times over the last 15 years. Next time you stand to preach, make sure you preach like it's the very first time and stay dependent on the Lord for every moment, every word, everything you say. Preach as if it's the very last time you'll ever get to preach to Him. The last time you'll get to exhort. The last time you'll get to share the doctrine. The last time you'll get to read the Scripture to them. And preach as if it's the only time that you'll ever get to have that chance to preach. It might be the last chance that you ever have. It might be the only chance with that person to present to them the gospel. From this day forward, in the ministry, I'm thankful to call you my pastor friend. And not only my friend, but my pastor friend. And my dear fellow laborer in the Lord, in the ministry. Let's preach together. If it's our first time, every time. If it's our last time, every time. That if it's our